Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministry. It's Friday night, and we have Evangelist Bill Shell with us from New Burnside, Illinois. But before we get going tonight, we're going to play a song called Holy Is Your Name by Brother Skip Etheridge, and it was written by Pastor John English. And as soon as that song's over with, Brother Bill, it's all yours.
Amen. Truly, that is absolutely correct. The Son of God, our best friend. We are very, very thankful. We are very thankful tonight for the opportunity to share in the gospel of Christ this night. We are blessed to be able to be gathered even at the distance that we are and in the fashion that we are, to be able to praise his holy name. And that's our purpose. That's our function. That's who we are, is that we might worship and praise our faithful God who has been so wonderfully good to us and still is. And we're very thankful for this. Tonight, we're going to talk to every one of us tonight. We are in a desperate hour. And I'm going to tell you tonight, church, I seriously believe that we're getting ready to see some big things happen. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe that Jesus is coming. And I believe he's coming very quickly. I think that we could see the return of Christ at any time. We're seeing things take place today that we never thought we would see before. We're seeing attacks against the church. We're seeing attacks against Christians. But now, let me tell you something. This isn't our associates in life that's lashing out at us. This is absolutely the empire of Satan that is trying to do everything that he can to destroy the church and to destroy our confidence in God. He's trying it all. And we need to be keenly aware of the truth of what's going on. So please tonight, when we listen to the word of God that the Lord has given to us, I'm going to talk to us tonight about some very serious things. The Lord gave us this message this week, and I actually preached it in our church this past Sunday. And I've anticipated ever since Sunday that I needed to bring this to the line tonight. Because I seriously believe that there are believers all over the country that need to hear what God has spoken to us in the last days. And God began to challenge us about this idea that we need to be exercising every day to gain spiritual strength. Now, we know that there's much teaching, there's much said about exercise in the day that we live in. It's a multi-million dollar industry. We find gyms are built all over the country. Gold's gyms, for example, and I'm not advertising for them. Never been in one. Maybe I should be. But I never have. But I'm using that just because I'm familiar with that name. But there are gyms that have been built all over the country. There's one in your neighborhood of some sort, maybe a different name. But they have been placed there for people to take the opportunity to exercise. And exercise, they tell you, is going to bring forth strength. I see these people on TV that it's very evident they've been exercising and they've built strength beyond imagination. I seen sometime back, and it's been a while, but the World's Strongman competition. Why, those guys could lift, they could lift a minivan. I never saw anything like it in my life. It's evidence they've been exercising somewhere. But you know, we as believers today need to be exercising for spiritual strength. We need it in this day that we're living. We need the strength, the stamina, that will help us to stand against all of the attacks that are coming against us. I found this scripture. over in the book of Philippians, and this is what it says in chapter number 1, starting reading in verse number 9, just reading a couple of verses there. This is what it says. Paul is writing unto the church, and he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." Now, let me stop right there just for a moment, because I want to translate that just a little bit if I can. Paul is saying, "I'm praying for you that you may learn more about love, that you may be more knowledgeable, that God may reveal things to you as you pray and labor and study, as you learn about God. I'm praying that you become more informed." Now, how are we going to become more informed? We're going to become more informed when we get involved with God at all levels. We're going to get there just in a minute. Verse 10 says, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." In other words, that you may learn God's ways, and that you may live righteously before God, that you not be held in contempt against God, but that your life might be clean before Him. Verse number 11 says, "And being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ to the glory and the praise of God." And we ask that God would bless this word that we have read from tonight. Paul is writing to a church, or a group of Christians, if you will, that is at this very moment that he is writing to them, they are facing a tremendous amount of confusion. Society is an absolute mess. Fact is, when Paul is writing this letter to the believers, we know that Paul himself is locked up in a Roman jail, and the reality is things are so bad that Paul is waiting to be executed. He has a death sentence placed upon him, and he is waiting to be executed. And do you have any idea what his charge is? The charge that he is being held for in this Roman jail, and they're planning to take his life, for the charge of being a Christian. This man that is sold out unto God, living in tremendously troubled times, standing for God, and the world says, "We don't want to hear it. We don't want any part of this." And the church is facing these kind of attitudes and ambitions in community at this time. This is what they are up against. So he is writing to the fellow believers that even in this difficult hour that they were living in, that it is vitally important that they continue to spiritually grow and become stronger in Christ, even in the face of all these adversities. And you know, that really does sound familiar where we're living today. We're seeing adversities like we have never seen before in our lifetime. We've never encountered anything like we're facing today. We are living in the most difficult time for the church that we have personally ever known. Now, please understand me, this isn't the first time this has happened, but it's the first time that we have known it to happen. I looked into to the history books, into the Word of God, and into the history books as well, and I saw that believers have faced such times as this before. Let's go back just a moment. Paul, as I already mentioned, is locked in a Roman jail, being sent to execution very soon. We know that in this very same hour, Paul was not the only one facing the difficulties, but you're going to find that the church was being dragged into Nero's control. And we know that in that Colosseum that Christians were being put to death. We know from history that they were put in that Colosseum and they were fed to the lions. That was persecution, wasn't it? We know that they were put in wild animal skins and taken into the Colosseum, and the wild dogs were turned loose to come in and to devour them before the congregants that said and cheered them on. We know that the Christians were saturated with oil and were set on fire and used as human torches to light the Colosseum in the night. That was persecution. That's not happened to us yet. But the church has gone through this in the past. Even the founding fathers of these United States in which we live, we know that a big portion of the founding of this country was because Christians were looking for a place where they could escape the persecution and come and worship God in freedom. So it's happened in the past. So we should not think it a strange thing that it's happening to us. But we should look at the lives of those that have come before us, like Paul, and like those that have faced Nero's court, and those that have got themselves onto some little bitty ships, according to today's standards, and sailed across the ocean, facing those great perils, because we should find encouragement that they were not willing to allow spiritual growth to expire. They were willing to lay it all on the line and go the extra distance to make sure that spiritual growth continued in their life. We today, when we look at what's going on, I don't have to tell you today, we don't see today the church that we saw even 1 year ago. Church was different a year ago than it is right now. For the most part, what we see when we're looking at the church today is an empty building. That's how it is across the land. That place that once sounded with prayers unto God. That place that was filled with praise and fellowship of believers coming together. That place where we gathered and we sing of the glory and the victory of the Lord. You know what? It's now silent. It's sitting there. Most of the time, very empty. But now let me remind you of something. And this is very important. That building really isn't the church. We are. We are the church. We are the building of God. It isn't four walls and a roof. It isn't a structure that sits beside the road, but it is us that is the tabernacle of the Spirit of God. And we must understand that in this urgent day that we're living in, it is key essential if we will continue in spiritual growth and we will continue to grow stronger in the face of the adversities that we are encountering today. What are we to do? God's Word is where we turn. It has all of the answers. I looked in God's Word, and God's Word challenges us that we're to hide the Word of God in our heart. This is what the Word says over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and verse number 33. It says, as Jeremiah writes unto us, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, or let me say it like this, that I will make with my believers. Let's say it like that at the moment. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I write in their hearts, write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Word is saying to us that it's in our heart where God's Word is. That's where we need it. That's where God intends for it to be. Well, how valuable is that? I turned over into the book of Psalms in chapter 137, and I began to read the story of how the people of God had been taken under persecution, and they had been taken from their land, they had been taken from their home, and put in captivity in Babylon. Now, please understand me, when they left Judah, they had to leave everything, even their routine form of worship, they had to leave it all behind whenever they went into Babylon. But you know what? When they got into Babylon, they remembered the word of the Lord. And the reason they did is because it was in their heart. How did it get there? It got there because they devoted time to listening to God, in communication with Him, in learning the ways of God. It was in their heart. I'm going to tell you something. The circumstance around us does not give us permission to become stagnant in spiritual growth. It doesn't. It doesn't. We are in a time where believers, those of us that are trusting in Christ, when we believers must take a personal responsibility for spiritual growth in our life. We no longer can depend upon the preacher to coach us on Sunday, because fact is, he may not be there, or we may not be there. The fact is, there might not even be service there. So are we going to count on only what we get at the church? Oh, my friend, we're in trouble if we do. What are we going to do? We're going to have to get involved in an exercise program that will create within us a strength-building program in the Lord. And I sought the Lord about this. I thought, when God began to deal with us about this word, I said, Lord, what would we do? Where would we go? And the Lord began to take me to the Word, and I saw some things in here that's worth sharing. And this is what the Lord has told us to share this night. First of all, we are to commit ourselves to study God's Word. That's the first exercise that we've got if we want spiritual growth. Commit ourselves to study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, we see that Paul begins to write unto Timothy, and he says, study to show yourself approved. Now, that word approved in that scripture text, what it means is study to show yourself that you have been with God, that God is giving you knowledge, that you have understanding of the Word. Study that Word, Timothy. I put this into relationship this week when I was thinking about this, of eating a good meal. We eat a good meal to maintain our strength, don't we? And you know what? Most of us eat multiple times a day. We do that to gain or maintain our strength. What would happen if we only ate one time a week? You know what I truly believe would happen? We would soon physically fail. We would weaken. We would begin to wither away. And in my case, that wouldn't be a bad thing, to be honest with you. But the reality is we would begin to weaken if we neglected the food. When we think about this in a spiritual relationship, we must develop a study of God's Word that will be significant enough to grow and maintain our spiritual strength. And we're to ask God to help us to understand as we study. And we are to ask God to help us remember what we study. My mind don't remember. I'm telling you, I have the hardest time remembering that anybody can. If I don't write it down, I don't remember. I can write it down and forget why I wrote it down. But we need to study the Word and ask God to help us. Daily, we need to be in the Word of God. Spiritual exercise, number one, to help us gain strength. Spiritual exercise, number two, to help us gain strength. Pray without ceasing. Get in an attitude of prayer and communicate with God. Jesus himself, he began to teach. He said in Luke 18:1, Jesus himself said men ought always to pray. That's the end of the discussion right there. Jesus had said, here it is, you should be doing it through prayer. We get to know God better. We get to know him more than just a casual acquaintance. We get to know God seriously when we start praying to him and trusting in him. The key to a victorious life is often our prayer life. That's personal time that we spend in communication with God. So I thought about this, and I said, Lord, well, how should we pray? If we're going to pray, Lord, to gain spiritual strength, just how should we pray? And I looked at the Word, and God answered me in the Word. I found in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14, this is what it says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. We must pray in the will of God. My will can get in the way. My will may be different than God's. But when I pray for God's will to be done, it means that I'm submitting my will, that I have to have my way. I'm giving it up, Lord. I want your will to be done. So we need to pray in the will of God that it would be done. We are to pray in faith, believing. James 1:6 says that but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So we are to pray in faith, believing that God is going to hear and answer that prayer. If we don't believe that God is going to answer our prayer, then my friend, we're wasting our time in prayer. Pray in faith, believing that God is going to answer that prayer. How are we to pray? We're to pray in the name of Christ. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, we go to the Lord our God, and we petition him. We pray without ceasing. So we develop that study of the Word, and then we get in the attitude of prayer, and we continue to trust the Lord. What else do we do? And this is where I'm going to get us in trouble. But I thought we continue in the fellowship of other believers. Oh, that's hard today. Because you know what society's saying? Society's saying, close up the church. You can't have church. It's too dangerous for you to have church. That's what society's saying. Let me tell you something. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Satan is trying to close the church. And we today need to be understanding that this is an attack from Satan. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's accuse the one that's guilty of creating the conflict, and let's pray to God for an answer. The Word says this. He says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see that day approaching. We're seeing that day approaching. So instead of driving us apart, we need to be coming together. And I know we got some issues in the way, but here's the real truth right now. You take a glowing coal of fire, you rake it out of the fire, and it will lay there and glow for a little while. But soon it will darken. The fire continues to burn. But that one ember, it begins to wither. And let me tell you something. When we are separated from brothers and sisters, you know what happens? We often begin to weaken. That's what the enemy wants us to do. That's what he wants us to believe, that we're not needing each other. But I'm going to tell you something today. We as Christians need each other. Every one of us. You know why we need each other? Because we are encouraged by each other. Because we are counseled by each other. Because we are challenged by each other. Because we learn from each other. And because we are loved by each other. And in this challenge that we're facing in the day, we've got to maintain our fellowship, whatever we have to do. Let me tell you something that I know is going on. We know that society is saying, close up the church. We don't need it. We know that it's happening all around the land. I've seen as recently as today, that it came down that they released some of our churches in Illinois that they could start back up. And one group put on there, do we have to? Is that a suggestion? Or is that a necessity? Give me a break. We're talking about the Word of God, the fellowship of believers. And they're saying, oh, we can do all this by Facebook. The world's saying, shut up, and guess what Facebook is fixing to do? From my understanding, from what I understand, they're getting ready to limit the amount or possibly completely shut down all worship services on Facebook. They are already censoring ministers that are on Facebook, trying to do away with the fellowship. We need to do all we can to fellowship with believers. If we can't meet in the church, then we need to be meeting as we are tonight, or we need to be meeting through some other fashion, whether the believers can get together and can talk about the power of God and where we can share in the relationship of the wonderful blessings of God because they still exist. We must not abandon the fellowship of the church and of the believers. Don't forsake the assembling, but draw closer together in these last times. If we are going to gain spiritual strength, it is going to be by coming together of believers.
And lastly, tonight, we need to yield ourselves to Christ's control. The last thing that we see, and I could go on the entire night with list after list after list, but the fourth thing I will mention is yield your life to Christ's control. You know what? This isn't a one-time experience that we yield our life to Christ. It's an everyday experience. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. He says, I die daily. He wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about his attitudes. He was talking about his personal ambitions. He was talking about his own ideas. He said, I die daily, that my life might show more of Christ, that I be less of me and more like Christ. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John 3, verse 30. Spiritual strength is what we need. And my friends, things are in such a turmoil right now. If we don't take some personal responsibility to see that our spiritual strength is maintained, then we're going to weaken. It might not be feasible for us to get the leadership of someone else at this moment. But you know what? We have the leadership of God. And we have God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us. So we have no excuse for not maintaining spiritual strength. We don't have to weaken in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this battle. Because my God's not weak. And He will empower us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. So in this day that we're living in, determined, become spiritually strong in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word that You have given to us tonight. Lord, this is the Word that You have told us to preach. We've preached it just like You told us to. Father, we ask tonight that it would do its work. Visit every heart. Visit every life. And Lord, if there's one listening tonight that needs to come to You and get in this exercise program for spiritual strength, give them the courage to do it tonight, to take those steps. And Lord, if there's one that's listening tonight that's never accepted You as a personal Savior, oh, tonight, Lord, that they might choose Jesus in these last days, last hours, Lord. Let them choose Christ. We know what the Word says. The Word says if we will believe in our heart, we will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, and He offers to us forgiveness. Let us this night, Father, cry out to You, Lord, forgive me, for I am that sinner. Forgive me and come into my heart. You said that You would. So, Lord, tonight I'm taking You at Your word. I am believing You as You come into my heart this night. I thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. And I will trust You to help make me spiritually strong. God, be with each one, we pray this night, as You bless Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share with you this night. God bless you is our prayer.
Amen, Brother Bill. Appreciate your word tonight. Very powerful. Appreciate it, brother. If you just prayed that prayer just a little bit ago with Brother Bill, you just made the best decision of your life. If you didn't and wanted to, maybe you still have some questions, or you just need someone to pray with you, you can call Pastor Skip at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you, send some literature and a Bible for free to help you out with your new walk with the Lord. We also suggest that you get into a Bible-based church, and we can help you with that as well. And we can start sending pre-recorded messages on CDs. All we need is your address, and we'd love to send them to you. And you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org and find all our contact information on there. We also have a free app you can download to your iPhone or Android by searching Extended Hands of God at your app store. On both the apps and website, you can listen to all the messages, see who their data speakers are, and a whole lot more. And you can find Brother Bill Shell on the app and website and on Facebook. And I'd like to thank Brother Skip Etheridge and Brother Pastor John English for music tonight. And you can share this with your friends and family. Thank you again for joining us at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. And God bless.